Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
And
how are
today,
you, Johnny?
Great. Today, we agreed that we'd be talking about the election, because I think that's what's on everybody's mind. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, for a long time, it seemed that, you know, Biden was running ahead and everything. And then, you know, I was reading this poll that I was telling you about that said that they had Trump ahead. And the reason this guy
is significant. Can you name that poll?
What?
Johnny, can you
yep.
name that poll? What is that poll
yeah.
called that you...
Trafalgar.
Ooh.
It's Trafalgar. And I was like, it basically says that Trump is ahead this year. And the reason this is such a significant thing is it had Trump ahead in 2016, where nobody was, you know, believed that, you know, that Trump was going to win. You know.
Yes. Weren't you saying it was the only one that was correct those years ago?
2016.
That poll.
It was
mm-hmm.
the most accurate. It was the most accurate in 2018 as well. And you know, I mean, I don't know what to think. I mean, except that I think that Trump supporters tend to be more private, you know. They tend to, I mean, like, I'll talk to people, and the only time they ever really mention that, they're not the kind of people. But what's really weird is that Trump has huge rallies.
Yes,
so
that is strange. Yes,
you know,
I agree, Johnny. Wow. The people that we're close to, you're saying – the people that you personally talk to are private about it. Me too. But then you see these big rallies, and obviously they're not private, those people. But I don't know one person that has gone to one. I haven't heard anybody that I know talk about going. So it is kind of odd.
Biden's rallies aren't that big. You know, so
think anybody is there except for the cameraman and himself, because he's all into this complete social distancing, complete. I mean, there's nobody there. Didn't you know that? I mean, I've never noticed anybody at a rally. He has, they're called town hall meetings, and it's just, he's in a parking lot at wherever the town is, and then they just have a cameraman, and that's about it.
Yeah, it is a little strange, I have to say. I mean,
What part is strange to you? Be specific about what exactly is strange to you.
This is what it is. Okay, they say that Biden is ahead, right?
Yes.
They also say that the markets usually predict the election. In other words, and because the markets are going in the upward direction, that's supposed to bode well for Trump. You know? Also, it's sort of like, it's weird, you know, and I mean, it's sort of like, and then you think to yourself, I think that Trump was probably saying a lot of things that, I will tell you this other aspect of that is interesting. There was this guy named Scott Adams. I told you about Dilbert, right?
Yes.
The comic strip. Yeah.
But, you know, tell the audience, though, what you're talking about, because they're not going to know.
The cartoonist who does Dilbert is his name, Scott Adams. And Scott Adams is a hypnotist, and he knows a lot about persuasion and everything. And what happened was that, I think around the 2016, he told everybody that Trump was going to win. This is a different person than Trafalgar. He told everybody that Trump was going to win by a landslide. And what he said was, he said that, you know, Trump has the best elements of persuasion of anybody he's seen. You know, he's very good at persuading people. He's very good at getting you to do something, you know.
Well,
and and it's not a matter of, like, would you like Christmas. I will say this, and the thing that I've never been able to really figure out is why people say that Russia interfered with the 2016 election, because from what I understand, they didn't interfere with the voting booths. So, you know, everybody that voted for Trump had their votes counted as being for Trump, and everybody that voted for Hillary had their votes counted as being for Hillary. So basically, you're just talking about a phony bank robbery, a bank robbery that didn't go, that was a failed bank robbery. But if the bank robbery didn't get any money, then how did he, you know, what's the damage? Maybe a few windows or something, but nothing happened. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, but I just want to know why you think it's so strange that Biden doesn't have anybody at the rallies. Like, you were starting to tell us about what's strange,
well,
what you're finding
strange
in this, and then it went to the cartoon guy. Just trying to understand
what you personally
think.
I guess the cartoon guy was kind of explaining, you know, It was the cartoon guy was explaining why people like Trump. His name was Scott Adams. And
okay, so but
I mean,
you were talking about why the thing with the polls, it's all strange with the polls, and only one is correct. Then what good are the polls then if they're not even correct except for one that nobody
wants to look at? Correct. They
have
been correct until. Until, like, I think it was a few years ago. I mean, you know, I just don't understand, you know.
Hey, Johnny, I want to know, do you think that Biden would have a better chance at winning if he did have people, he invited people to rallies? Do you think it matters? Or do you think people are really looking at, like, oh, no, I'm not going to vote for one because they don't wear a mask. I'm going to vote for this guy who's safe. Do you think, how much do you think that weighs in on people's votes? Just the coronavirus alone, I want to know.
Yeah, I don't know about the rallies, but I do know this. It does seem that Trump seems so adversarial to the press that it almost seems like, you know, nobody who supports him is going to trust the press. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? That's the only thing I can think of.
About the mask wearing?
I don't know. Well, the problem with the mask wearing is that, you know, you wear the mask in one place and then you don't wear the mask in another place. And then you, I think that the coronavirus, I don't really think anybody that supports Trump really blames him for the coronavirus, because it's like, it would have hit us no matter what. It's like blaming Trump for a meteor. And by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but they say that a meteor the size of a refrigerator is going to hit us today for the election.
Who says that?
I don't know. It's not going to cause any damage. You know, I mean, it's not that big. It's about the size of a refrigerator. But it's
wow, that's crazy timing, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
And where is this supposed to hit? What area?
I'm not sure exactly, but give me 1 second here.
Okay. Well, I also wanted to raise a point because somebody I talked to said this. Okay. Biden is 77. Trump is 74. So it's not that big of a difference, but I believe that getting closer to the 80s, you start to deteriorate very rapidly. somebody had said, well, I don't think that this presidency, if Biden wins, he will survive it because, you know, it is very hard to be the president. It is so stressful. You can look at everybody's before and after photo who has been a president and see, oh, my goodness, they really did age throughout those years. So they were saying, okay, if he dies, then guess who's going to be our president? And are you okay with that? And that would be Kamala Harris. Are you,
well,
Johnny? Would you
that,
be okay with
no,
that?
And, well, mm-hmm. I will tell you this. Don Scott Adams also said that he thought that's what maybe what they were doing. Because it's sort of like, well, I mean, nobody really thinks. I mean, it's just that when you gaff as much as he does, and to be fair, and this is to be totally fair, if this was Donald Trump, or you know, Ronald Reagan or Danny Quayle, they'd be all over him. So, I mean, to be fair, it is a little bit bizarre, you know, the stuff, the gaps he's been making. Like, what do you think about the gaps he's been making?
Wait, are you saying gasp?
Gaps. G-A-F-F-E-S. Okay, Biden has been making mistakes when he speaks.
Oh.
And I don't know if you noticed that. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what people are talking about, but I personally just don't think it is that bad. I mean, he's always had a stuttering problem. It's not because he's not smart. It's just, you know, it's a stutter. And
but
I think he's pretty much gotten over it. Yeah, I don't notice it that badly.
He said that he was in the Senate for 180 years.
Aww.
He said that he was running for the Senate, running for the president.
But doesn't mean he really means that. It means that, like, his mind is getting distracted. There's probably some nerves going on and things like that. But did he not correct himself when he said that?
I don't think so. No.
So that concerns people a lot.
Well, it is concerning. You know, I mean, I will tell you that some people, I think, because they agree with his policies, are going to look past that, I think, because, you know, the same thing is true for Dan Quayle. I mean, the guy misspells potato, and then all of a sudden...
Oh, come on. Johnny, there's no comparison. That guy, please. That was the worst. Now, I do think that he is not so intelligent. There's no comparison. I don't think anybody should be compared to that guy. Oh, my gosh, that was the worst. That was funny.
Dan Quayle?
Yes. So,
well,
anyway, my answer is that I don't think that Biden is that bad with that. But I do think whatever is happening is going to get worse, especially with the stress of the presidency. So you're saying that some people have that in mind, that Kamala Harris will be a president, and they probably want it secretly to happen because they want a black woman. I mean, they will probably be like, their dreams will be coming true with that. Many people.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I am a little wondering, like, he tends to say things like, I mean, really, I mean, when Biden was saying things like, oh, yeah, and this is my wife and this is my sister, and getting them misconfused. And then there's this one where, I mean.
Well, I know one thing that a young person that I was around felt, that they noticed, they felt uncomfortable with, is how much touching he does, but he's totally controlled that at this point. But that's just because people have complained, and he has a statement out there that says that he would get better at that. And so what do you think about that? Is he just a touchy person, or is he weird? Is he weird touchy?
I don't know a whole lot on that. I mean, I've seen is the gaffing and the misgetting words wrong, you know, and I mean,
okay, so that concerns you. Well, to my whole point is, you know, it's very stressful to be a president. He's up there. He's going to be 80 in 4 years. That's pretty old. Do you know the oldest president? How old was Reagan when he became president? Do you know?
Are you asking how old the oldest president in the world is? We've ever
had
it?
It
was Donald Trump.
Really? Okay, so even Ronald Reagan wasn't as old as Donald Trump.
No. If Biden gets elected, he will break Trump's record.
You know what I don't like? I don't like that people say, oh, Donald Trump's on drugs to have so much energy. Because I know him personally, and I just know for sure that he doesn't even drink alcohol. He's never even had a drop of alcohol. And
no, I know he's a germ.
Does not do drugs.
That's what I've heard.
Doesn't do drugs.
I've heard
so
he's
I don't
a
like that because some people naturally do have energy. I mean, they do.
Mm-hmm. Like,
but I don't think that Biden looks old either. I think Biden looks like he has energy too. I think he looks like a nice guy and everything, but I am just wondering, what does he really have to offer? And if he becomes the president, oh my gosh, what's he going to do? I'm worried about things like raising taxes and Social Security and things in my future. And I have a young child, so. Well, I have a teenager, not too young anymore, and I worry about her future with that because I worked so hard my whole life, and I'm going to have to rely a little bit on that Social Security, probably, and I deserve it. What are your thoughts on that issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think the question is you need to make sure that what you do is you have policies that work. And I wondered at times if, like, whenever a politician says, well, I want a government program or something, you know, and it's like the healthcare thing. I mean, I don't get it because soon they're only doing it because they have the votes. If they didn't have the votes, it wouldn't exist, which means. Because the day is going to come when your party's not going to be in power. And if that day comes, they're going to get rid of whatever health care thing is in right now. So, you know, I mean, I would like to see a health care thing that was passed bipartisan. You know, that's bipartisan.
Yeah. Okay, well, I want to take a moment to tell everybody to call in because we are welcoming callers. So the phone number is 516-531-9874. You can call now, and we would like to hear your opinion. What do you think about the upcoming election? What are your thoughts and concerns? So please do call in right now. We wanted to do this show. We're staying neutral, by the way. We're not here to argue with anybody. We want to just hear your thoughts. We're trying to throw some thoughts out there to see if it's going to spark anybody's interest to maybe share their point of view.
What are your friends?
And
what are most
we hope.
Friends feel?
Mm-hmm.
What about how do most of your friends feel about the election?
Oh, a lot of the women they have hated him since the beginning because of the way he talks. And then I have some other women, which is interesting. They're the older women. They're the women who just stand by him no matter what, and they're very passionate about it. And they are generally women who have money and a good life already, and they just swear by him. The other ones are a lot of the playmates and a lot of the models, and they get offended. So me, you know, I don't like some of the rhetoric. I think, oh, that isn't so cool, but I do know a lot of the Christians I have talked to. I have asked them about it because you would think that they would be the most offended, but no, they just say, hey, I don't look at the Twitter. I don't care as long as the country is, you know, doing well, the economy, I'm happy with it. I don't care what he says. Those are the three groups and that stand out the most. Although I do have a lot of men friends who really like him, who are all for him and think the economy is great. They could care less about how he talks. And I have some family members, obviously, that I've talked to a lot, and they would think that anybody voting for Trump, you know, they don't even ever want to speak to those people again. So it is very divided, Johnny. It is so divided.
I will tell you this. One of the things I think hurt them last time was the fact that, you know, every time I would go on Facebook, I would always see someone who was real liberal say, if you vote for Trump, get off my Facebook. Well, it's fine, but, you know, don't pretend that you live in a world where everybody agrees with you, because that's not true. You know?
Right.
I mean, why not just pretend that, you know, obviously people, you know, are going to agree and disagree with you. I mean, why can't you just talk to people that disagree with you? I mean, that's the way the world works.
Well, also, they think that it's his fault that we've had so much uproar with, you know, the fighting in the streets and the looting and the very, very negative stuff that's been happening out there because of the protests. I personally like the Black Lives Matter movement because I think that it's about time, you know. But this does happen every so often, and there's riots and there's things like this happening, but I think more than ever now. But, you know, I understand their side of it. And I don't say, oh, well, my life matters too. It's not about that. It's their movement. You either are supporting it or not. I think they deserve it. I find it to be not a problem. Not a problem at all. How do you feel about it?
Well, you know, I think that the protest is one way to get your voice across, but another thing is to try to be a better person. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously, I mean, you know, I think that you know, all lives matter, but I don't think that's what they're. I don't think that's what they're saying. You know, I mean, what I'm trying to say.
What are they saying?
What I'm trying to say is that I think all lives matter. Is what I'm saying. I think all lives matter, but I think that what I'm trying to say is sometimes what happens is if people hear the words "Black Lives Matter," they attack it, and then they say, "Oh, you mean other lives don't matter?" No, I mean, I believe that's not what that means. I think that what they mean is that people have neglected Black lives, and they want to go, they want to make sure that people get noticed. That's fine.
I agree.
I guess what it is that I'm not somebody who, you know, would I don't really watch what's the information on the news on the rally so much. I mean, I prefer to talk about things, if that makes sense. You know.
Yes. And you have a great platform to do so. So I'm glad we are talking about it. And
yeah.
You know, like I said, we're here. We're neutral. We're not going to attack anybody who calls in either side. We just want to hear from you. We want to, you know, pick your brain about it because this is really coming up. So I have my ballot here. I haven't filled it out yet. I could send it in, or I could decide to just go in person. What do you think about that, Johnny? Do you think it's safe to send in your vote by mail ballot? Do you think that
it's safe to vote in person. I think that,
okay.
You know, but I mean, I honestly think I would wear a mask.
Well, yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, I am always going to the grocery store, so probably going to be safer than that, I can imagine. I think they're really going to be safe. So you're right. I think I will just go in person. Okay, well, also, what do you think about how fast he got over, Donald Trump got over this coronavirus? Like, it seems
my father loves
crazy
that.
Time.
your
father what?
Here. Yeah. I mean, my father loved that, you know. Wait, give me 1 second here.
Okay. Maybe we have a caller.
Okay, because...
It really is amazing how fast. It makes me feel hopeful that maybe one of these drugs is working, since they gave it to the president, the one that they're just kind of testing. It worked great, it seems like. So it makes me feel like there's hope for other people. If they can actually perfect it for everybody, that would be great.
That would be great if they did that.
Yeah, it seems like...
I'm wondering if people see it's 516-531 and 9874. And I know some people that are going to call in. I've talked to some people that are going to call in. But I mean, I do feel that what is amazing, this is what my father said. This is one of the things he was telling me, because this has to do with the coronavirus is an election topic, so I might as well go ahead and say it. The coronavirus fatality has gone down by 10, by a factor of 10.
According to what study?
According to the statistics. Let me tell you what happened. There was this, my father, see, he used to do this thing. As I told you, I have two nephews that are on the autistic spectrum.
Yeah.
Okay. And one of the things that they loved more than anything else was spend the nights, you know.
Yeah,
spending the night
that's sweet.
With grandma and papa. Okay? And
that's sweet.
What happened was, around March, they had to stop that because of the coronavirus, okay?
Yeah.
And, well, to be honest, you know how my nephews were. I mean, they didn't take too kindly to that. They weren't happy with that. They weren't mad, but... they really didn't take too kindly to the idea of not being able to spend the night. And what happened was that my father said, because he was following the recovery of Trump, you know, after he got tested with Corona. And then the quickness in which he got recovered from him impressed him. So he decided to go back to having regular spend the nights again.
Oh.
And about
that
2 weeks
ago,
he did. Yeah. So I think that it's not really, like, he told me something the other day which made me feel a little better. And I know that we're sort of deviating from politics, but not really. Is that he said that Dad used to think that if he got it, that it would be a death sentence. Now he's not so sure. He doesn't really think it would be a death sentence. And
that's good.
Just
gave him hope, didn't it?
Well, see, what I was thinking that was going to happen was it was going to get to a point where it's going to be like, oh, you got it? Oh, okay, we'll just give you 2 weeks to recover, is what I think it's going to get to. Because, you know, I honestly think that if that happens, you know, then it's going to be kind of like, I think that it's going to go from that, I think, to, you know, I think everyone's going to be wearing masks as far as a fashion statement. But I think over time, and that's what I think is going to happen. You know, I think it's going to be. I mean,
And he was encouraging to a lot of people, but everybody's different because people are still dying out there. So it also can give people a false sense of security.
They're dying, but one-tenth of what they used to be. And it was, it just goes to show you that we do know more about the COVID than what we knew, a few months ago.
Hey, Johnny, since we are staying neutral with this subject, it's kind of hard for me to say, okay, what do you like about each one? Unless you can tell me, what do you like and dislike about Trump?
Well, I think that I think Trump probably what I like about him is that he obviously has watched every presidential election for years. So I think he has somewhat of an idea about how to run for president. I mean, because he was able to look at all the past elections and then say, okay, well, this was a mistake that was made, or I'm not gonna make this mistake again, or don't let's not make that mistake. And I think that's what he's doing. He's watching. And I think that all this time that he's been watching the campaigns, he's seen every mistake. He says, okay, this person did this. Okay, let's not do this.
The running for the race. I mean, as a president.
Oh, as the president.
Policies. What he stands for, what he does.
Okay, I like the tax plan. The wall is what I like. Now, as far as the wall is concerned, the problem I have with the wall is it's basically, there's an old saying, you let the guilty person go free rather than jail the innocent person, is what they say. And the thing is that the wall sort of punishes the innocent because something the guilty did. In other words, a person may want to go into this country for a very good reason, but they're being punished because of the actions of somebody else who is a bad person. And I mean, that's what the wall almost feels like, the only way that I think you could have a wall is if somebody's up there really monitoring the wall.
And that is a lot of miles to have somebody in every part of that border. It's just too bad.
But
wasn't
honestly,
there a wall over there? There was an old wall.
Well, there was a wall, but it's just that I think that, my problem with the wall is that it's punishing someone who's innocent because of the actions of a guilty person.
Okay, so that's about the wall. Okay.
Yeah.
Keep going. I was going to ask you about the next thing. I have a question about. Okay. Okay. So are you going to say then what you dislike, if anything,
about Biden?
No, I asked you, likes and dislikes about Trump, and then I'm going to ask you about Biden. So you said you like the wall and you like the tax plan about Trump. Okay, dislikes?
I said I liked his tax plan, but I didn't like the wall.
Oh, gosh, I'm glad that I asked you that again because it sounded like you said you liked the wall.
I don't know. Yeah, the problem I had with the wall is that it's sort of, it's like this family that wants to come in and you're basically punishing children because of something daddy did. And I don't know if that makes any sense. I mean.
Yeah, that is a sad situation, definitely.
I mean, that's the way our criminal justice system is not based on that. It's not based on we're just going to put innocent people in jail because that way we're more likely to put guilty people in jail. You don't, it doesn't work like that. It's you actually, you know, it's actually better to let the guilty go free if it means, you know, avoid putting the innocent person in jail. You see what
maybe
I'm saying?
Just letting them go back. But if you send them back, okay, I don't know what that entails. It that might be worse than jail, because that could mean death for them, because they're fleeing sometimes away from getting killed in their own country. So that's a big deal right there. So what about, say, Biden was president? What is he going to do with the border?
Well, actually, I've heard,
and are you okay with it?
I don't know about borders, but I've heard he's going to decriminalize marijuana, which is a very good thing.
That's not good. All right, people. Like, maybe we'll get some callers about that.
Yeah, I like the idea. What he's going to legalize marijuana is what he's going to do. And then I've heard, now, what is it that he does that he does? Like, the gassing, the getting words wrong, you know, is a little bit of a concern for me. I mean, I'm trying to be unbiased about it because, you know, if Dan Quayle, you know, you don't, it, all I'm trying to say is Barb, is that if Dan Quayle were saying the things that Joe Biden was saying, then you people would be like, oh, God, you know, the Democrats would be all over him. But because it's Biden saying it, they say, they, I mean, seriously, I've heard people say, oh, well, he's just old. Well, wait a minute. I mean, he's old. I mean, that wouldn't fly if the shoe were under the foot. We were talking about somebody from the Republican Party. I mean, how would you feel if I said that, you know?
Well, oh, I know. Well, plus, all they have to do is YouTube it and, you know, look that up, and they'll see that he's done this for so many years, even when he was young.
Oh, and not only that, he gave a speech that that was plagiarized.
Oh, I know. I saw that, too. I did not like that. I don't like the copying. I understand what happened with Melania because she just, you know, has a speechwriter. But when you are actually the one out there, you're the candidate, and you are copying word for word, you can do that, but you just have to quote the person who said it, who really said
well,
it before
Melania,
you. And he's done this many times. It's not just once. Many times. And I really don't like it. It's a form of lying. What was that?
I actually feel bad about Melania because I think that I was talking to my father. I said, how come Melania never gives speeches? I mean, you know, she's the first lady, and they never let her go out and give a speech.
I have seen her do many. Oh, she does. Okay, not as much as you think. Probably not as much as Michelle Obama, that's for sure. But anyway, I understand your point, and I felt so bad for her as well. And I love her. I think she's so classy and beautiful and holds herself well. And she does try. She is trying. She did go down to the border and she met with a lot of people and tried to make that better for the children that, you know, were taken away from their parents. She was down there. And I respect her. I think she's doing very well under some very hard circumstances. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would love to hear how Trump, I'm just saying, all I'm trying to say is that if you have, let's say, a husband and a wife trying to cross the border, right, and say the husband is a, you know, a drug dealer and the wife is doing nothing wrong, how do you go about, because you have to deal with them differently. The wall doesn't deal with them differently. The wall is there. And now I understand, though, that we all go on airplanes with metal detectors. I get that. So in that sense, you can make the same analogy of the wall to the metal detector. I just want to know how you go about, you know, handling that situation, you know. I mean, you know, where you have a wall and you don't, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, one person
yes,
may be
okay.
completely wrong.
Okay, that is very important and very important with feelings about humanity and just equal rights people. everybody is a human being, okay, has a heart, a mind. They are feeling something. And, I mean, can you imagine yourself going through that? If you were 3 years old or five and everybody's ripped apart and you don't know where your mom is, oh, my gosh, put yourself in that situation. So that is horrible. And that is a bad thing. So I'm trying to think, what is a good thing? Can you tell me a good thing that you really love? Because I want to know one bad thing, one good thing about Trump, and I want to know one bad thing and one good thing
about Biden. Well, I
already
told you about Trump.
Trump
is the tax plan. Trump is the tax plan. I told you that.
What do you like about it? Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, I think that people talk about the rich, getting breaks, some tax breaks, but I think people forget how oftentimes the wealthy hire other people. So they sit there, and it's like usually, you're hiring other people. And by the way, let me one second here. I think we have a caller.
Oh, great!
Can I put the caller in? Yeah.
Oh, of course. Oh. Hi, caller.
Okay.
Who
Let's
do we have the pleasure of speaking to?
Hey, this is Laura. I literally
Hi.
Just so. What's the topic
awesome.
Well,
oh,
we're talking about
the election.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. And okay,
I
and
told
just,
her
wait,
that.
Johnny, Johnny's going to he's answering. It's so interesting, but my question to Johnny was, what is one good thing and one bad thing about Trump, and what is one good thing and bad thing about Biden? And he was on the second good no, he was on the second bad thing. Or was it the first bad thing about Trump, the border, the wall, all that?
I guess what I was saying, and Laura, if you can have some input on to explain how this is. The problem I have with the is for about the wall, I'm not blasting Trump. I mean, I'm open to hearing how something like this can be done. You see, the problem is that you can't have two people, one innocent, one guilty, and then you punish the innocent because you can't do it without. In other words, you can't punish the innocent because of something that a guilty person did. If that makes sense.
Especially
the children. I don't know what you're talking. What are you talking
about?
Okay,
we're talking about displacing.
Yeah.
Displacing the children away from their parents because of the wall. And he says that is negative, what happened with Trump. I don't know. I don't think it's happening anymore. What do you know about? We just want to know. Do you know anything about what's happening with that and your feelings?
So a lot of that is BS because you've been listening to the wrong media. The reason why that was being done was to verify, in fact, because they had to determine, first of all, if those children actually were the children of those people. So many of the parents were selling their children to the coyotes to get across.
Ooh.
And a lot of the coyotes were doing unspeakable things, especially to the girls. What was going on with the children was so bad, so reprehensible. And so what they were trying to do is actually protect the children. Now, you can't really seriously believe, if you really have your common sense, that they're going to rip children out of the parents' arms just to do it. There has to be a reason for it.
Yes, and they don't ever say that news, right, Laura?
They don't report on that. Right, because they don't tell you the truth. People have been listening to, how much the media lies to us and doesn't report on the real facts, like the laptop that's coming out, right? All this stuff about Burisma and Benghazi and how Biden is getting kickbacks and Hunter is getting kickbacks. Not one of the major outlets will discuss it. They won't talk about it. And
why are they controlling that so much? That one side controls the media.
They hate Trump so much. And they want to control what we think. They don't want him to win. So they would rather they would rather destroy our country. And I think they're being run by the billionaires, you know, that own these networks. I mean, look at Disney, what's happened to Disney. They own ABC, The View, you know, ABC. Then you've got AT&T that owns CNN. I mean,
I understand.
It flabbergasts me that, and then look at what's going on with Facebook and Twitter, how they censored and shut down.
That is a little strange.
Yes.
You know, I mean, these people are out of control.
Do you think we're going to hear a lot more dirt? They probably are going to, they're going to start putting it out, or would it already be out there? You know, all those bad, mean ad campaigns. I mean, both sides are kind of, I'm not noticing it too much, but, you know, is there going to be a really bad headline, like, in a day or so?
Benghazi. Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Probably they have more. They're probably going to have, like, on the personal life, though, some dirt, right?
Oh, yeah. You should hear what's on the laptop, the photos of what Hunter Biden was doing with these young girls.
Can we see it? Where do we find that?
Well, the media is suppressing it. They're talking about it, but they haven't released it yet. But they've, like, Giuliani has seen the pictures, and he was talking about what he's seen. It's this guy.
And there are people involved that we, like, they're saying Hillary Clinton and people like that, they are saying that they are involved in this.
Well, think about how involved they are with the pedophile stuff. They're doing all this. What was that guy that went to jail, Weinstein? Were involved with him. And what's the name of the guy that died in prison that had the island?
Oh yeah, yes.
And the Clinton
producer.
I mean, this is
Jeffrey.
So bad.
Epstein,
and then
right?
They find out that the FBI has had this laptop in their possession all during the Mueller and the fake Mueller investigation and the Russia crap and what we put up with and how we've been lied to by the media.
I wanted to say something about the Russian thing that I never could figure out. Okay, Laura, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but... Okay, does everybody who voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016 have their votes counted for being Hillary Clinton?
What are you talking about?
Does
everybody?
I didn't get that either.
Okay, let me explain. I'll just go ahead and repeat it. Okay.
Okay.
In the 2016 election, there was no evidence of the voter booths being tampered with. Okay?
Oh, yeah, there was lots of talk about that. People were going into the voting booth. Trump, and it would switch right in front of their eyes. It would switch over to
Hillary. What I'm trying to say is, Laura, I never heard anybody like stealing votes from Hillary for Trump. I never heard of that.
The Republicans. No, we don't. First of all, people that vote Republican, they're not out in the streets. They're not causing chaos and violence in the streets.
They are having big rallies, though. You have to admit to that.
Oh, sure. Of course they are.
So, yeah, one is doing that and one's doing that. So, hey, people are going to want to do, if they want to wear masks, they should. I don't think they should have to. What was that?
No, I don't think so either. Well, no, I said that Trump supporters are peaceful protesters. Did you see CNN? They were literally doing, literally in front of the violent and throwing cocktails, you know, firebombs and blowing up buildings and lighting buildings on fire. And they're literally saying that these are peaceful protests as you're watching a building behind them burning. I'm like...
But they're blaming all of the riots on aren't they then blaming Trump for all of that because they say, well, he's the one who divided us. But wasn't the division already there? I mean, look at these people have been pent up for years before he was there.
Yeah, Barbara. So the division has always been there, but it's been hidden from us.
Yes.
And what had happened was they got so used to having things their way and running things. I mean, we have not known. We knew, let's all be honest, we knew that there was some corruption in D.C., but we didn't know just how bad it was until Trump came along. And they are livid and furious that he came and snatched that out from under them. They had no idea he was going to win. And they're so angry and so bitter. Now think about this.
Yeah.
Think about this. All these corporations that have poured millions and hundreds of thousands of dollars into Hillary's campaign, and now they're doing it to Joe Biden's campaign. All those people and the lobbyists, they all expected to reap the rewards from all those donations. And that was stolen from them when Trump won the election. So they are so angry. And if you'll notice, like even where I live here, I drive around and I look at it, all the rich neighborhoods have Biden signs in front of a yard. The rich neighborhoods do. The middle class.
Oh, I thought it was the opposite. I thought
the
rich people like Trump.
That's where the Democrats are so good. They spin it when they're doing the bad deeds, when they're colluding with Russia, they turn it and spin it and make it sound like we're the ones. Everything they accuse us of rich neighborhoods, Barbara, they have Biden signs all out front. It is it's the middle class, the blue collar people, they're the ones that have the Trump signs because they know
I see
Trump
that.
Is fighting
yes.
for them.
But a lot of my wealthy women friends love Trump. A lot of my Christian, yes, I can tell. And I'm so glad that you call because I can hear the passion in your voice. And I think you're speaking for many people who are fearing talking about this. And there's ramifications. They have family members that won't speak to them. They have just friends. Yes. So what makes you different? Why do you not care and just feel passionate? I don't care. I'm going to say how I feel. What makes you different than these other ones that feel like, afraid?
Because I was raised in a political household. I was raised as a Democrat all my life. But back in the day, the Democrats weren't like, they're not the party that they are today. The party that they are today have actually turned on the middle class. They've become so powerful and corrupted with the money. And I believe in term limits. But you've got people like Pelosi and Biden, and what they do is they and McCain too. I mean, they get embedded in these positions, and they get reelected time after time after time, and they've made backdoor deals. They are in mega million mansions. Their salaries are only $181,000 a year. There's no freaking way these people would be able to afford these mega mansions on that salary.
And how would you describe yourself besides, you grew up in a political house because you are so knowledgeable. This is awesome. And what do you do now? Like, what class are you in, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I still consider myself middle class because I grew up with blue-collar worker. You know, my father was a plumber. And so I still have those values. I didn't change. The party left me. And when I started doing research and I started actually stepping back and I said to myself, wait a minute, this party is not the party that I grew up to believe they were. So I started looking at the Republican Party and I said, wait a minute, my values haven't changed. Who I am hasn't changed. My values have not changed at my core. I realize that I am more in alignment with the values of the Republican Party. So I'm passionate about our freedom and our freedom of religion, our freedom of speech, the right to own guns and defend ourselves.
all this is in jeopardy, serious jeopardy. And socialism is communism. That's when the government dictates everything for you. I mean,
yeah.
We are, it's so scary to me, Barbara, that people have their heads buried in the sand and they listen to what the mainstream media is feeding them.
Well,
and
they need
take
to
it
do their research.
But
right? I mean, I've been doing it. I've been going on. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Laura, but
no,
I think that people need to do their research. There are a multitude of wonderful describing the difference between Democratic and Republican and from the beginning and how it changed and just what you were saying, the party left them, you know, how it changed and shifted and why. And it's so interesting. I've been studying it and watching it. I love it. I think people should go out and do that and not just say, oh, I don't like, you know, this mannerism or I don't like how they said that word and really know, because this is so important. How you want to live in your country and you want your life to be, hey, it's in your hands. The only thing that can change anything, it's a proven fact, is the people.
Well, the colleges, too, the way the professors have been indoctrinating the youth, most of the Antifa and the violence is coming from the youth and how they've been brainwashed by these left-wing radical Antifa basic. I mean, I could just go on and on and on, but I can only tell you, seriously, we are in serious danger if we do not address what's going on these college campuses.
Okay, tell us about it. Tell us what's going on.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, Obama was friends with one of the I forgot the guy's name. Him and his wife were terrorists, and they had blown up a building back in the day years ago. And
Johnny,
Obama
you know?
Was friends with them, you know. And then the college goes and they hire them as professors, even knowing their background is terrorists. These colleges... I want to know who owns these colleges, who runs them, because I'm telling you, they're enemies of our country. I'm so upset when and then you see people that have come from these communist countries and are trying to warn us what will happen to us if we turn to communism, which is socialism. Socialism is just a pretty word for communism, not right. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not into that. I like choosing a lot of things, like my own health care, and so I can just go to my favorite doctor, and it's covered.
Yeah.
All that changed, and the doctors were all upset about it too, and they would accept my cash, so I would still go to my favorite doctor. I mean, it was once a year or every 6 months. But I didn't want to change after I had that doctor for 25 years.
Well,
heck no.
Well,
and
you know,
then, I'm forced
to. I don't even have health care right now because Obama ruined it for me. I can't afford health care because of Obamacare.
And I'm trying to figure out a new health care because, you know, it's like they force you into the government care and then you're trying to get out of it and then you have to fill out all these forms. It just seems to be... That is my biggest concern since the Obama administration. My health care was messed up, just like you, Laura.
Yep, mine too.
I was going to say something.
And,
you know, when it comes to health care, it's hard for the government to fix something like that because there's two different sides. There's the patient, and then there is the family. And sometimes the family may have a blind view of what's right just as much as the patient does. Like, for instance... here's a good example. When my grandfather was in the hospital, you know, my father is an MD, so he knew he was an MD. He was a psychiatrist, so he knew exactly medical terms. He knew exactly what was going on. And what they told him, they said, well, your father had a stroke. And Dad goes, no, he didn't. He didn't have a stroke. No, he didn't, you know. And it turned out that my grandfather had a stroke. But see, the reason my father didn't know this or didn't say this is because of denial. I mean, this is his father in the hospital bed. You understand? So it's like you're not going to make everybody happy. So, or, you know, it may be better for you to be in the hospital for a few days, even though you want to go home. So you understand what I'm saying?
Well, Jonathan, the problem with Obamacare, okay, was first of all, we have the right not to have to pay for health care. It was always a choice, always. And it was ruled by the Supreme Court as unconstitutional. Chief Justice Roberts went around and said, well, wait a minute. If you did it this way, you could actually turn it into a tax, a penalty, if they don't buy it. So Chief Justice Roberts, instead of taking the law as it was presented to them and ruling on it, putting the law, he went and jerry-rigged it to fit so that the Democrats could get it passed. But what really bothers me is the Supreme Court justices, no justice for that matter, is supposed to make law from the bench. They are supposed to interpret the law, which is why I value constitutionalists and originalists like Amy Cohen Barrett that just got elected. Thank you, God. We have to get back to the rule of law, because when you've got radical judges like what happened with Chief Justice Roberts going in deciding he's going to turn things around, he messes everybody's lives up. And the thing with Obamacare, do you know that the reason why our health care went up so high, we're paying for things that we don't even need. Like a man doesn't need for to get abortions. Men don't get pregnant.
Mammogram.
Right, mammogram. And at my age, I can't get pregnant. Why would I have to be paying for that, right?
Right.
That's why our premium went up so high. And if it was unconstitutional, then how can you possibly mandate it and make it turned into a penalty? I don't understand how the Supreme Court did that to us.
Constitution. Isn't that our foundation? I mean, without that, if this is happening, that is scary. I believe it is, and I need that follow.
Court is such a threat that the Democrats want to pass the threat. They want to pass the court.
But what about all these people out there who I've been in a cab? This lady, Afro-American lady, was like, "Oh gosh," you know, when Trump was about to, you know, win, she didn't know yet, and she's like, "Oh gosh, I hope he doesn't win because I love my Obamacare." You know, well. What about millions of those people who love it? Like, you know, they're voting.
Those people don't. The people that are voting for Obamacare, there are people that are getting free rides on it, like the people that are getting welfare and stuff like that. Those people love it. Of course they do, because they're living off
the
hard work backs of all the other Americans that are paying into the system. It
Do you
really
think more
is.
Of those people are voting this time? Because, I mean, they're trying to say that, well, get out and vote. Like, they didn't vote. Enough of those people didn't vote. Maybe they're saying that. I don't know. So,
I mean,
what are your concerns? And what will you do? What will the majority of the Republicans do if Trump is not reelected? What will they do? Will they go riot? Probably not. So,
No,
tell us about it.
That's about what we do. Republicans don't run.
Right.
And
they don't do it.
On that. That's partly why all these riots and Antifa is going on, because they want to scare the American public into voting for the Democrats. Because they're trying to say to us, guess what? If you don't vote for us, you're going to have more of the same, more chaos, more violence.
It's been very twisted up. Anybody can interpret it the way they want, and it is what it is. I mean, a man
It went viral. He was injured. It went viral. And then this has happened. And then they say it's because of Trump. I don't like how that now has been twisted in so many ways to be used.
Well, this,
you
this
know,
is the rule
for personal
of
gain.
How other communist countries have done it. This is the Democrats are using the rule book from Seth Alinsky, which is what the Clintons follow, George Soros. This is all part of what the Bolsheviks did back in the day when they did the riots and the suppressing of the people and terrorizing them. They're trying the same tactics. Oh, and the race, the pitting the races against the division of the races. But the good news about that is because Trump has done such a good job, right, with the African-American community and the Spanish community, he's done such a good job getting them jobs and getting aid to the colleges for the black youth, you know. He's done so
I think it's been 400,000 manufacturing jobs, like 4 million jobs created since election. So isn't that what people needed? And I know there's still some people who don't have them, but, you know, they can't even work. You know,
well, there's a walk-away movement now. More and more people have woken up to what Trump has done for the country and the economy. And
I was going to say something. You know, it's funny because, sorry, it's okay. But, you know, like we were talking in the beginning of the hour about, when I called you up to tell you about this pollster, you remember the Trafalgar, that thing I told you about? And it's interesting because the reason I wanted to bring this up is, and I brought it up at the beginning of the hour, but I'm going to bring it up now. It was like, it's apparently, this is my father was telling me, in the year, not just in the 2016 election, but the 2018 election, it was the most accurate poll. And in 2020, it predicts Trump's going to win. And I don't know if you're a big fan of Laura Ingraham, but Trafalgar, the guy who runs it, is on Laura Ingraham tonight.
Ooh. Oh, I do. I'm going to want to watch that. Now, Jonathan,
I've always liked her.
Me too. Jonathan, do you know why that his polls have been the most accurate? Do you know why?
No. No, we don't know why. The only thing I can think of, this is, I was thinking about why the other polls aren't, and the only thing I can think of is that the people who do the polls are the media, and basically, if you're for Trump, you don't trust the media, so why would you trust somebody who's calling you for a poll? My guess is that this guy is going to... If this person is polling you, then he would have to do it in such a way to make you think that he's not the enemy. Also, I've heard that a lot of times it's the way the questions are asked. Like, there's such a thing as begging the question. It'd be like, for example, did it bother you that Trump hides his taxes?
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's what they do in these debates.
Right.
Did you see
and I want to tell you something else. I can explain the taxes, by the way, if you want me to explain it. You want me to explain the taxes?
You can explain the
And why he doesn't show his taxes.
I already know why. I understand.
Wait, she was telling us
talking about
the poll.
Taxes, Jonathan.
No, we were talking about the poll. Oh, my gosh, we were talking about the poll. I want to know, tell us, Laura, about why that one is not being stopped. And is it a different kind of media?
Well, Jonathan was alluding to it because there's the shy Trumpers, you know, the people that don't want to tell the truth. They're the silent majority, you know. You've heard about that term, the silent majority. They're the ones that are too afraid to admit because of all the violence and everything that's being perpetrated against them. You keep hearing about all these Trump signs that are being torn up and people's flags that are attached to their homes are being burned. You never see a Republican supporter doing that to somebody.
Here's another thing you don't see. You never see a person on Facebook telling everybody, I'm a Trump supporter. You Biden supporters, get off of my page.
Yeah.
It's always
and
the other way around.
Hollywood, they're vile. The things that are coming out of Chrissy Teigen's mouth and Barbara Streisand. I mean, the stuff that they're saying, they're just disgusting.
I haven't even looked lately.
Horrible.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if I should go and look because it's just going to waste my time, you know? And so, but I want to know where to find this poll that Johnny says works that has been accurate. Laura knows about it too. Can we tell
the listeners? Johnny told me about it. Yeah. Go ahead, Johnny.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead,
Johnny.
Okay, it's called Trafalgar, and it's TRAFALGAR. And actually, I think we have another caller. Do you want to put the caller on?
Yeah,
well,
sure.
Wait a minute.
Laura,
Wait a minute.
I will.
Wait. I'm going to go do this.
Okay.
I'm going to go screen the call. And then,
good. You never know what you're going to get, right? When you tell the world your phone number.
It might be good,
you know?
It might be fun.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, this has become so much more interesting because Johnny and I wanted to just open a show up for callers and people to, and, you know, we wanted to stay neutral. But, and we are pretty much, I mean, and I was so thankful that you came on to make so many good points, Laura. So you're okay. Do you think you're going to be in for a good surprise because you're a Trump supporter?
Yes.
that day of the election, really? Okay, because you are that the polls are false. You know.
Did you see the parade of people in California up and down lining the street? In California,
yeah, right here, Newport Beach, right next to me. I don't do close quarters, though. I have a daughter. I have to be, you know, I'm ultra careful. I have an elderly father that I see, so I'm just careful with coronavirus. But, I mean, yes, it was in Newport Beach. Like, I live in Huntington Beach, right next door.
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
here's the caller.
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Hi.
No, I was telling the guy who screened me that I'm one of a growing population of black conservatives. My name is Pianki. P-I-A-N-K-I.
Okay,
hi, how are you doing?
And
I was telling the screener that I'm one of African-American conservatives in this country that comes out and make declarations that they're supporting President Trump.
Yeah.
Many don't because they have things like their job held over their head. But I talked to my grandson today. He's away at college. And he kind of was perturbed. And he said that, Papa, I'm getting sick and tired of being accused of being a Democrat just because I'm black. And apparently he had an experience with some advocacies for the Democratic tickets where he was yesterday. So that's my position. I just wanted to let somebody know in case you never have talked to one in person. I'm not giving our autograph now.
Do you see the interview with Biden where he said you ain't black if you don't vote for me? Did you see that? I saw that.
So there's a lot of backlash that he is saying, the caller, please don't go, okay? This is so interesting because you're dealing with a lot. You feel like you have to maybe be silent because you're not just going to have people, like, not want to talk to you. You're going to be fired. You're telling me that your son was worried about that?
No, listen, I said that there's a lot of black conservatives that support Donald Trump, and they don't come out openly because their jobs are being held over their head, especially like in public school district and also some government positions and positions of that nature when you are living in what's perceived to be Democratic strongholds. Like, for instance, St. Louis. St. Louis has been Democratic since 1949. And, you know, you take a Miami to El Paso, Texas, they have always been that way. But, yes, the blacks that come out and take a conservative position, they are insulted, called coons and Uncle Toms, and they just receive all sort of racist comments and remarks from other blacks.
Yep.
Oh, that is so wrong.
You go on,
wow,
and look up that. There's a movie on Larry. God, what's Larry's last name? He's that black guy. He's a lawyer. Used to be a judge. He's on Fox a lot.
Larry Elder.
On, yeah, him. He has a documentary called UncleTom.org. I think it's .org or .com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he did
check
well,
that out.
Here's
about
the thing.
Exactly what he's talking about.
People usually vote their interest and with people with their shared values.
Yeah.
And when you look at the educational attainment and the professions that blacks occupy in the United States, and some of the higher, like engineers and doctors, they do not hold those positions as per their population of about 11 or 13%. And these Democratic, now I have no problem with some socialist programs when people are down and they need some help. That should be something that helps them to stand up, especially before you bring in refugees and illegals. But they're not supposed to stay there forever.
Exactly.
I'm against
it. Can't be
right.
So much trust that they learn to be. It's kind of just like people that get addicted to cocaine, you know, or opiates in this point. Let's say opiates. People that become dependent on it and they can't get off of it. Those social, just like Social Security, for instance.
Yes.
That was socialist platform, but we've been paying into it all our lives, so of course we don't want to give it up because that's all our money that we've been
absolutely
promised.
Yes,
yeah.
That's
so
what I said at the beginning of the show.
Once you get down that rabbit hole, there is no getting
actually,
out of
funny.
It
mm-hmm. It's funny because my father one time, this was back when I was getting an allowance, you know, and he told me, he said, son, do you want to know what it's like to be a Democrat? You give me half your allowance and I'll spend the money on what you wanted to spend. If you want to know what it's like to be a Republican, you keep all of it.
Yeah. Well, did you know that Bill Clinton was in an interview? It's on YouTube. Bill Clinton was in an interview, and he made the statement that he thought, and his wife Hillary was for, and Obama too, bringing in Syrian refugees to redevelop the city of Detroit. Now, hang on for a second. Detroit has a large black population that has been the crutch for the Democratic Party for a long time. Now you're talking about throwing them under the bus. You got veterans that are sleeping on the streets, homeless that are sleeping under bridges, and you want to bring people in from another country and take
goodness.
Their place and the opportunity to redeveloping their city.
That's such a great idea.
Totally
I want to talk about Bill Clinton for a minute. Because one time he gave a speech at a marijuana rights event, and he said that he thought that marijuana should be legalized. Well, at that moment, someone stood up and said, listen, you were president for 8 years. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's one thing to say, if you and I were to say we're against it, but Bill Clinton, I mean, he was president for 8 years. He did nothing to legalize marijuana. People went to jail.
You have so many people.
Well, what about Obama? Obama did nothing for the black community, and he was president for 8 years. He did nothing.
No, Obama was typically
doing
terrible.
It all.
And
yeah.
You look at what's going on now.
How do you feel about Obama? And
I voted for him his first term. I didn't vote for him the second term, no.
I need to know your name because I like to call you by name. Like, I know Laura on the line.
My name is Pianki, P-I-A-N-K-I.
Pianki.
Pianki.
Pianki, that is a cool name. Okay, go ahead.
No, but, you know, the reason I vote for Donald Trump because of his campaign issues. When he talks about school choice, even though my children don't need that, but there's a lot of disadvantage, economically disadvantaged parents and families who do the right thing and are very functional by providing their children with the resources that they need so that they can excel in the education arena. But when you're trapped in these traditional public schools, well, that child never has the opportunity to reap the benefit of what they could be. So then they need to have choice and vouchers.
I have another point to make, not to jump in, but like, for example, it's sort of funny. He copyrighted the words "you're fired," but when you really think about it, he could have just as easily done it with "you're hired," because he starts a company, those are a lot of jobs, don't you think?
Well, yes, there's a lot of jobs out here that Americans are not able to fulfill. That's why they bring in so many foreigners on these work visas. But you know the key thing that Donald Trump said about that? He told the those that's here working on work visas, when your visa expires, you got to go. We're going to replace you with Americans. What's wrong with that?
I know. The Americans need the jobs. They should get them first.
Absolutely.
And you know, Trump is supporting the HBCUs for the blacks, the colleges, for helping them with the funding and get, because historically there's never been anybody in the White House champion the HBCUs. Now Trump's doing it.
Well, you know, one of the things that can help the HBCUs is that the children that is going into them are better prepared to handle the rigors of college. And presently, that is not generally the case. You only have 5 HBCUs that have a graduation rate above 50% in 6 years. And I believe there's about 115. Now, I'm understanding from what they say, they would be down to about 25 in another 4 or 5 years.
Well, Trump put out a bill that restores $255 million in annual funding. That lapsed September 30th. So he's really working hard on behalf of the black community.
Trump is working hard on behalf of Americans, period. He just doesn't get the credit. He's been attacked. He's been ridiculed. All this innuendos is proven to be false. The Russian collusion, the Ukraine corruption. The Ukraine corruption is Joe and his son, Hunter.
Yep. And the media won't report it. They deliberately did not ask. All this stuff about the laptop came out. George Stephanopoulos would not ask one question about it in debate in the town hall.
No, he would not. Isn't these debates just a joke? They're a joke.
It is.
Yes.
And George Stephanopoulos actually has no business being hired as a journalist because he was the campaign manager for Bill Clinton. I mean, these people are so corrupt that report on the media. They're awful. And now we got the next debater, this woman. What's her name? I forgot her name. She hates Trump, too. And
yeah, she does hate Trump.
Yeah, and did you see the stupid topics they're going to talk about? Nothing about foreign policy or the economy. Nothing all they're going to talk about are global climate change.
They're going to talk about climate change. You got some scientists that want to be have their projects funded for the next 25 years. You're going to be talking about police brutality. Police brutality would solve itself if people had more respect for authority, which you don't see in the household. It's not in the school, and quite naturally it's going to play out in the public. Again, the black community, now they are martyrizing criminals. That would call Rosa Parks to turn over in her grave, flip over
several
times.
Martin Luther King, too. And Martin Luther King's niece loves Trump. She's always at the White House praying over him.
Just totally ridiculous. Who would have ever thought? But I've been seeing this destruction of the fabric of the United States for some time now.
Yeah.
And when Obama got elected, it sprung up like dandelions.
They
have a good website out there to find out about all of Trump's accomplishments. Whitehouse.com, I was on it earlier today. It's very nice.
at least
and he doesn't take a salary.
People. A lot of accomplishments, especially in people with the jobs. The jobs, big time. Lowest percentage ever of women unemployment, which I'm one of those. You know, I've always worked my butt off. And I did not even have to get unemployment, not even through the coronavirus. I am an entrepreneur, like, yeah, self-employed,
no,
and I didn't have to. I feel like this is the best economy I've experienced in so many years, you guys. And I'm a single mom. And, you know, I like how it is right now. And I am afraid.
Yeah, y'all are.
Well,
I'm afraid they're going to steal the election. All these ballot harvesting and everything going on. I'm really worried about that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. Johnny's trying to say something.
I had to
What's
make a joke
on,
with
Johnny?
Some guys on these ballots early. I told them, I said, you cast your ballot early for Biden. I bet you wish you had a string on it so you could pull it back in.
Well,
yeah.
No, I am going to say this. This is something I'm going to say this before she does the shout out. They said that the mistake that they made last time, one of the mistakes was that nobody knows why this is, but Republicans, they vote in the day of the election, and Democrats, they vote early. So what was happening was when they were flashing all this thing about 95% likely Hillary's going to win, 95% likely Hillary's going to win, the Republicans were seeing that, and then they were showing up on election day, is what I think happened. But that's what I've heard.
Well, you know, the thing is this. If we want to maintain our liberties, you know, the tenets of the United States Constitution, especially Article 1 and Article 2, is very, very important to me, and it should be to all Americans. You shouldn't have to put on a mask when you're out in the public, when you're out in the middle of a field. Here's the thing that they don't understand about the Constitution. The Constitution has no on-off switch. It's on all of the time. And they would rather turn it off when it fits their narrative and fits their advantage. And that should not happen.
That's exactly
a good way
right.
to put it.
Yep, perfect.
That is a good way to put it. And Laura, do you have any final words? We're going to close the show. But tell us a couple of things.
Have you read Candace Owens' book, Blackout? If you haven't, you need to get it. It's awesome.
Thank you for the recommendation. And thank you for the opportunity to speak on your show. There needs to be 1,000 more like this. Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
Thank you, Tianqi. Call back again. We loved having you. That was great, you guys. Wasn't it? Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. And Laura, thank you because you are so wise. You know so much. And you're very passionate. We couldn't have asked for a better, you know, regular listener to call in. We loved it. Right, Johnny? That was amazing.
Yes, we do.
Well, I love America, and I appreciate everything. It's all the freedoms and the Constitution. God bless America. That's all I can tell you.
Well, do you
so
want to do a shout-out about where people can find you or not? I mean, a lot of people love to share this on Facebook. What was that?
No.
I hope.
Yeah,
I have to ask.
Oh, my gosh.
But thank you for sharing so candidly here, though. And that meant a lot to us. And we hope that everybody was listening and enjoyed it and learned a lot, because I sure did. And I have a lot of places to go to find out more. So if you guys came on later, this show is about the election. We hit on a lot of great points. And so if you listen to it again, you're going to find, you know, referrals, links, a book that Laura is suggesting. And it was really great, you guys. So thank you, Johnny, and thank you, Laura. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to listen to this show and find it on our YouTube channel momentarily at Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I posted a lot last night, you guys. You know, sometimes I just want to share a favorite drum solo, you know, I'm really into or something. So check it out. You know, we want to get to know you. Thank you again, Laura, so much. And have a great night, everybody.
Thank you,
too. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.